Attention all passengers. The Uber ride for Jeff's rugby team will depart in 5 minutes from platform 15. Your ride comes with 6 toilets and a refreshments carriage that you'll empty within 5 minutes. Thank you for booking your tickets on Uber.
Trains on Uber.
Up next, it's Red Flair and his new band.
Oh my God, I'm back again. On Betfair Casino, everybody's spin. Gonna bring new games, gonna show you now. New game party. Find new
dropping hits every week. Find the new slots.
On Betfair Casino tonight.
18 plus BeGambleAware.org.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Hope you're having a great week. Looking forward to a great weekend. Today is an ALN classic episode. That's right, we're throwing it back to the old days of the podcast. We had some bangers, some hitters, some legends come through the show, so we thought we'd dig deep and throw it back to some of those insane, hilarious, fun episodes. So enjoy the hell out of this episode. Of course, follow the podcast at ALN Podcast on Instagram and Twitter, at Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Enjoy the episode. Enjoy your week.
Hey, it's Herbert. And you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
The name is About Last Night, and Brad came up with it and then left to be a dad. We still haven't seen the kid. And so my buddy was like, why is it called that? And I go, well, Brad came up with it. And he's like, well, you should ask people what they did last night. Mm-hmm. As like just the, even if that's all you do to get into why it's called that. Mm-hmm. So I haven't done it yet. So let's try it out for the first time with Sarah Tiana. What'd you do last night?
Oh, what did I do last night? That is a really great question.
Right? I feel like we never ask. It's always like, what have you been up to?
Right.
What'd you do last weekend? Mm-hmm. What are you doing coming up? But what about, just take us back.
So last night, what, 8 hours ago, sure, whatever yeah. that was, I was in a mad rush to finish a screenplay before the writer's strike.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. This is like day one, by the way.
This is day one. It happened. It actually happened about 2 hours after we sent it into the production company. And
for like that's been, Mazel Tov, by the way.
Yeah.
That's been
producing it. Yeah. So we sold the movie to Spyglass a couple years ago.
Awesome.
And but we've been in rewrites. You know, once they hire a director, then you have to do all these rewrites and stuff. And it. And yeah. So it's just kind of been this crazy, insane process. And then basically, they needed a new overhaul on basically a central theme of the movie. And so they gave it back to my writing partner and I, who originally created the script. They had hired a couple of other writers. Mm. That's always what happens. And then the studio is like, we want you guys to change this and this and this, and we want the original writers back because we liked that, you know, like they're like it's a Christmas movie, so our
cool.
like light jolly sense of humor a little bit better. And so we basically got it back 8 days ago, and we had,
and had to address all their
completely
notes,
completely overhaul everything.
Holy shit, what was that like?
It was insane.
I mean, look, you're a accomplished baller, staple of the comedy writing community, I think it's safe to say.
Thank you.
From all the gigs you've done, from roast to TV shows, sports shows, your own stand-up.
Yeah.
It's just something you got in your pinky, aside from performing and even acting, as I saw in the pylon.
Uh-huh. Yes.
But writing a screenplay is a bigger, ambitious, just overall project. But I can't imagine to have to... So you're probably somewhat accustomed to like, all right, 7-8 days to like do all this. You've probably written 1,000 jokes in an hour, but still different because now you're weighing in, I don't know, story. You're just a lot of other things to factor in.
I mean, usually to do an overall rewrite would take 2 months.
Oh, man.
So to do it in 8 days.
It's not, well, if it was a Hanukkah movie, it would have been very doable. because as a Jew, we know that you can get a lot done in 8 days. Mo?
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yes.
You're not a Jew, are you?
No.
Do people ever think I am? Yeah.
Oh, I haven't really gotten that a whole lot.
Tiana's not, like Southern Jew. Are there Jews
Tiana's my middle
Georgia?
Name.
What's your last name?
Haynes, which is even more white.
Even more white.
Yes, you know.
That's a great Christmas title.
I used to go by my whole name, Sarah Tiana Haynes, and my dad gave me my middle name, and he was really proud of it. He said it's Cherokee because Tiana was the name of the Cherokee woman that married Sam Houston from the Alamo.
Cool.
And she was a medicine woman. He's like, oh, I just think, you know, we're part Cherokee. And I'm like, well, you know, every white person in America is probably part Cherokee.
Yeah.
I'm not Cherokee enough to get a scholarship or own a casino. So
not with that attitude.
Yeah. So anyway, I used my whole name when I got on stage, and then MCs started dropping off my last name because they just couldn't remember all three. They were very focused on saying my middle name correctly and then would just completely forget my last name.
Wow, so you could have been one of these like Sarah Michelle Gellar,
uh-huh,
Rachel Lee Cook,
yeah,
Paul
Sarah
Walter
Jessica
Hauser,
Parker.
Sarah
there
Jessica Parker.
All these three-name women.
A lot of Sarahs, by the
really
way.
Really a big fad when I started, too, in
it
the
was.
Early 2000s.
Who else? Let's name some of the most popular three-banger name.
They're usually serial killers if they're men. If they're women, they're actresses.
JonBenet Rams got killed. Fuck. All right. Yeah. Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yes.
Legend. Dead.
John Wayne Gacy.
John Wayne Gacy. Lorena John Bobbitt. No, that's no.
Yeah, it's hard once I start thinking about it.
Well, Tiana's a great. That flows. Like,
thank
and
you.
It also sounds like a stage name.
Yeah, but I think people always call my parents Mr. and Mrs. Tiana.
Oh, cool.
And now they just go, "Thank you. Nice to meet you." They don't even.
We'll go back to the writer's strike stuff in a minute.
Yeah.
And congrats on the movie.
Thank you.
But also, duh. I didn't know that you did that, but also I probably, if somebody were to ask me, do you think Sarah writes movies, I would say yes. Do you know what I'm saying?
Thank you. That's very nice.
First of all, before we move off it and come back to it, are you pumped that you got it in and it's like before the strike? Because now it's going to get going, right?
Yes. Well, I mean, it's not still technically done. Like the production company still has a few notes to address. But apparently the agreement that we're under freezes during the strike. So the deadline that we thought we had, we don't have.
Gotcha.
So we do have a little bit more time. So it'll just depend on whether or not the production company once they read it through and through, and you know, they'll probably read it more than scanning it.
Spyglass is a good place to have it with.
Yes.
Christmas movies, we can't have enough.
No.
And I feel like if a Jew is saying that, they got to buy them every year.
They got to buy them every year.
I will watch the fuck out of the Hallmark Lifetime ones.
Mm-hmm, me too.
Even when I know the story and I don't know the actors. And that says a lot. But it helps if you're like, Candace Cameron Bure. You know, at least I'm somewhat familiar, you know, to a fault now because she's like, should gays get married?
Yeah.
And you're like, what?
Oh, no.
I want the Full House music to come on and Saget to come back and be like, oh, DJ, you and your brother are fucking lunatics.
You have so much to learn.
You have so much to learn. Oh, man, her even backwards apology on Instagram was so.
It's even worse.
It was even worse. It was like, I just think how I think and feel how I feel. That's not what I meant. But I just meant that, you know, just.
They should burn in hell.
Yeah. It was so. And it's like, you've already. We all know, like, you and your bro who. Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right. I know.
Kirk, you know what you did, and you know what you said, and you know who you are. That
funny,
being said, I love Growing Pains.
Funny story, we couldn't take our movie to Hallmark because it had a male lead.
They only do female leads now.
Yes, they only do female leads.
How do you feel about that?
Oh, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a formula, and they say, this is the formula, and this formula works.
The
and
girl's going on a journey.
She has to have a powerful job. She has that is independent of men, does not need a man, but would like one. It's kind of, there have to be 7 scenes where they are doing something Christmassy, making cookies, drinking hot cocoa, decorating the tree.
I never really realized there is a true formula.
There is a true formula.
It's almost like I feel like Sandler's got a similar movie formula where he's like the right amount of, in something maybe like a Hubie Halloween or a Grown Ups, where it's like enough, a certain amount of kid jokes that could also be adult jokes, a couple scenes for that his kids would dig, the adult comedy, like it's a weird character that goes, oh boy, you know, some sort of,
If it ain't broke. And so when we set out to write this, we had written, my writing partner and I, we met doing sketch comedy here in Los Angeles. At the time, he worked at Village Roadshow, and so he was one of the readers. He would read scripts and tell, like, basically break it down, write for the executives to say this is what it's about.
Yeah. That's a tough job.
It's a tough job.
And also, if you can do that well, like, you have a great sense of story, I feel like. Because if you can just... I was always bad at reading comprehension. I'd have to... I still now... It's got to be ADHD or ADD or fucking Asperger's or SARS or fucking HIV. I don't know. I got something going on. But I would, I would read and then just space out and then have to reread the pages. So that's good that you have a partner in crime that crushes that.
It also helps you write very fast because if you have someone that you can be with. We used to sit in the same room and write. Now, Final Draft has a program called Collaboration Mode, so we can both be in the Final Draft document together writing at the same time.
So you do that a lot.
And then, so we just Zoom, and then we do Collaboration Mode, and we can get everything done so quickly.
We don't need to be in the same place.
We don't have to be in the same room.
Do you prefer, there's a buddy of mine that we're jamming on something right now, and we've done a few Zooms, and it's fine. I think in person always can be a different energy, but like if you can figure out, I don't know, it's to each his own, right?
It just depends. It's also very difficult to find the right person to write with.
Yeah.
And we have, you know, I remember early on in my career, I was on Reno 911. So when I first started writing screenplays, I actually talked to Tom Lennon a lot about it. And then I bought him and Ben Garrett's book on screenwriting, which is called How to Write Movies for Profit. And basically, it's a great guide to just say, like, you cannot sit here and go, this is my dissertation. This is my passion project. You have to be able to take notes. You have to be able to say no. I mean, there's a whole chapter just on parking. Like when you go to the Fox Lot, if this is where you go to a studio to pitch, if this is where they have you park, they are not interested in your project.
Wow.
It's incredibly
Shout out to Tom Lennon, by the way. Yeah. Dear homie and friend of the pod. And also, I mean...
He's a genius, but also like when you have to have a disassociation too with a project. You both come in with an idea, and my writing partner Patrick McCullough, who is a genius, so we both have this agreement: if we are not both laughing, it's not funny enough. So then we just have to change the joke, and there's
no attachment
to anything. So if he doesn't think it's funny, and immediately write it down.
Well, Siri, it's just like, if it's like this, and you're like, well, you're explaining why it's funny, that's case in point.
No. Yeah.
Wow.
And also, he's very good at Final Draft, so he will write everything down. Final Draft is a screenwriting or TV writing program, whatever it is.
What a pro. Looking right to the camera. That's right. Yeah. You should host a PBS show. That was fucking like Mrs. Doubtfire reading rainbow shit.
Yes, but so he types everything out, and he's very fast and efficient at it. So we just kind of dictate and say the story and the lines back and forth until we get it.
You're probably a beast with dialogue, yeah? And characters?
Yeah,
and
I'm pretty good at dialogue and characters.
Or do you do both?
And ideas. A lot of times the ideas will be a little bit of my idea. A lot of times they come from stand-up. You know, like right now, because of the writer's strike, we're going to go ahead and just write out a movie idea that we have been kind of noodling on in the meantime, that we had been pitching before the strike, but now you can't do any pitching during the strike. And it's based on my joke about true crime, about why women like true crime. Everybody thinks that women like true crime because of we like murder, but that's not the reason we like it. We just like planning things. And so we're doing a
funny
movie about a bunch of party planners that plan a murder.
I mean,
it's a great idea.
It's a fucking brilliant idea.
Thank you.
Oh my God. Now, why a Christmas movie? Do you love Christmas?
I love Christmas. Yeah. I mean,
who doesn't,
I'm
by the way?
I'm just kind of a cheese ball about all of it.
All holidays or all Christmas?
Not all holidays.
Yeah.
Mostly Christmas. Not a huge fan of Halloween, but now that I have a kid, it's a little bit more fun.
Totally.
I just don't like scary things.
Ooh.
But I'm obsessed with Christmas movies. I watch them all year. Now Hallmark has it to where it starts October 31st, and that channel is just on. Like, I just leave
it's cozy.
On all day. And I don't. And I, you feel like you can walk away, and you'll come back, and you haven't really missed anything.
There's a brilliance in that.
I mean,
all right, this is scene number five of the decorating of the five of the seven decorating scenes.
Yep. But I love all of it, and so.
As a kid, was it a big holiday for you and the fam?
It was. It was a big deal.
Yeah.
I think. I mean, I think it still is a big deal. We take it pretty seriously.
Yeah.
My mom always wrapped every single present where you're like, oh, you could just put all the chapsticks in one little bag.
Oh,
you know?
My gosh. You'd wrap individual chapsticks?
Yes, that's my mom adorable. Grew up, you know, not having much. And so you don't get a lot of presents. And
totally.
So
you want to maximize.
Maximize the amount of wrapping.
Did they, your folks also from Georgia?
No, my mom is from La Mirada near Disneyland.
Yeah.
My dad is from Michigan, but they met in Northern California where my dad was at San Jose State.
Cool.
Yeah, and then we moved to Georgia when I was five.
So that
my parents always wanted to live on the East Coast.
Yeah, it is, right? More, no, it's the South, yeah.
Yeah.
So your time where you feel like you, I don't just remember and like childhood is... Georgia, like
yeah,
Northern
I
California
just grew
is
up that you know, and I think people
you have no
are
San Jose
always,
memories.
Not a ton, but I have a lot of family up there.
Oh, cool!
So I still go up there all the time.
When you perform up there, do they people come out?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
You know, but my mom's side of the family, who I'm closest to, lives up there. So all my cousins, so we do a lot of Christmas and holidays up there. Because if it's too difficult to go back to Georgia. But
right.
That's also why my accent always goes in and out. People go, oh, you have such a bigger accent on stage. And I'm like, yeah, because my parents didn't have an accent, but everybody at my school did. Mm. So I just learned to talk two different ways so
wow.
that I could be understood no matter where I was. And so I tend to talk like whoever is talking to me. I'm kind of like Madonna, but I'm just a little bit... Just a year younger than her.
I was going to say in a little more, I don't know, even keeled.
Yeah, I'm not on TikTok as much.
Although, you know what?
Or as talented.
So funny.
But that is where it comes from. And then when I'm on stage, no one's talking to me.
Mm.
So I don't mimic someone.
So what's your default? What would you say if you had to pick an accent?
If
you were on a deserted island and had one accent to choose.
Definitely pick Southern.
Yeah.
I think it's much more fun.
1,000. It's very
little,
you too.
It definitely comes out.
It comes out.
Or if I talk to my sister on the phone, it's like dueling banjos. My sister has way more of an accent than I do because she stayed there. She didn't move to California at 21 like I did.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. The first of all, when you're in the big family reunion stuff, are you, because you're such a effortlessly funny person off stage. And so, but you're also in the business thoroughly. So there's, You're the association for the family, right? Like for the business.
Yes.
Or is anyone else in your family in entertainment?
No.
Okay.
No.
You don't have like a Nate Bargatze magic dad or an Adam
no,
Ray
my dad is
vagina
really,
monologues
yeah,
mom.
My dad is really, really good creatively. He gives me a lot of incredible ideas. Actually, a few that I've taken to write movies about.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because he just loves...
He's an idea guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where I get good ideas from.
And does he watch a lot of shows and movies?
Yeah. My mom is the funny one.
Mm.
You know?
I was going to ask where you
get it from.
She's
sarcastic. My dad, you know, everybody laughs at, but my mom is the one that is really doing the jokes. She also listens to tons of podcasts. She probably listens to this one.
Cool.
I remember she used to text me all the time whenever she would hear me on this one.
What's her first name?
Sue.
Sue. I think we talked about her.
Yes, we definitely have. I talked about her the last
Sue Tiana. Sue Haynes. Sue Haynes, Tiana. Whatever it is, whatever you want me to call you, I will. Your daughter's a treat. I also met your other daughter in Boston.
Oh, yeah, Joanna.
Right? Yeah.
The smart one, yeah. My sister has
really?
A PhD, and I, you know.
Yeah, but comedy's a superpower.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Do people in your family, are there people that are like, I don't know, distant cousins, if you see them, where they're like, I saw Dan Cook at the, you know, or and like, have you seen him? Or pitch you ideas that aren't great, or I don't know, just geek out. That makes you feel good where you're like, oh, these,
yeah.
I'm able to give them moments or experiences.
Sure.
That, yeah.
Yeah. I have definitely parts of my family. Even my brother-in-law is a big comedy fan and he's a fireman. So they're always watching a ton of stuff. But
oh, yeah.
I'm probably my mom's fourth favorite comedian.
Great.
Yeah.
By the way, that means she's got like,
she does.
That she watches
she
a lot.
She does. She definitely watches a lot. She watches a lot of specials, way more comedy specials than I do. I don't
know.
Really watch them.
Well, speaking of comedy specials, yours is fucking fantastic.
Oh.
It looks great. It's shot at the store.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've seen you perform. We probably know each other now for, I don't know. I was trying to think about when
Gosh.
We met, and it probably was at the store. right?
Had to have been. I mean, I've been a paid regular there since 2009, I think.
I was about
2011, maybe.
Yeah, and I was about eleven or twelve, maybe. Started working there, I think, in 2010.
Oh, you were working there? I even remember you
watched
working
it phones
there.
Behind the scenes. I didn't want to be
at the door.
I also didn't want to be a lot guy because I was too nervous to like crash cars and. Like I'm not
good for you for admitting it, because there are a lot of lot guys that I wish would not park.
Totally, yeah. I mean, I know it's a great way to like you know build rapport with people you're trying to associate with, but yeah, the shooting a special at the store is. I feel like I don't know if that was always the dream or when that became like something that you were like, oh, this is the place I'm gonna do it at, because it's. Your favorite club in LA, yeah, it's your home.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's where I started. It's my home.
What was the store to you before you started stand up or got to LA? Was it like
oh, I had never heard of stand up before I got to LA. I started stand up in LA, which Chappelle always told me is like learning to dribble in the NBA.
Yeah.
Like you don't pick up bad habits, you're learning from the best. It's kind of, I think, a game changer.
Ideal.
You know, I had seen stand up before. I did in Atlanta when I was in college. I was on a radio show at my college radio station, and we used to interview the comics that came through the Punchline.
Oh, cool.
And it was like David Alan Greer and Bobcat Goldthwait. And cool. Mitch Hedberg is the first person to ever give me tickets to a show.
Get out.
So that was the first comedian I ever saw live. And people always say, is that when you decided to do stand-up? And I always say, you don't see Mitch Hedberg and then go, oh, I could do that. You just
perfect.
Go, I have no idea how that works.
Yeah.
I never thought about it again until I moved to Los Angeles, and I had been here for just over a year, and I was DJing weddings and bar mitzvahs because I had DJ experience from the radio station.
Oh, my God.
So
perfect,
dumb.
By the way. That translates.
Right. Yeah. And this guy that I had DJed with just always said I was so funny and that I had to do stand-up, and I just thought, I don't have a sitcom. I can't do stand-up. I thought you had to have a sitcom to do it.
Isn't it so funny when you have no knowledge
clue.
Of how to get into it? You're
no
like,
idea.
Oh, you must... Ray Romano probably got a show, and then they put him on stage.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
Which is fine to think that way.
Absolutely.
Wait,
got that.
Real quick, break down for me why you were funny as a bar mitzvah DJ. Where were you inserting the punchline? Because you're setting up songs for a lot of horny adolescent Jews mm-hmm. that are like trying to, you know, it's Boner City out there. Mm-hmm. And how are you fitting in?
I was not really doing stand up on the mic. It was driving there. He would always
gotcha.
He was always laughing, and he would always say how funny I was. And I had always made people laugh, but no one ever told me I was funny. And looking back, it's because I was always making fun of them. And so they would be laughing, but they'd be saying, that ain't funny. That's not funny. And so I just registered it as I'm not funny, even though
Holy
they were laughing.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Man.
So I never thought of myself as this funny person.
Did you have anybody that you would like roast and toast that would like go, like, I guess this person, your buddy that was
yeah.
finally the first one to go,
yeah.
that's, I can take these hits, but also not feel mm-hmm. bad about it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. His name was Poetry. I mean, that was he was a slam poet.
DJ Poetry?
No. Yeah. I don't know. We just called him Poetry. His real name was Devin, but he was like,
from Temecula. Yeah.
He was on Russell Simmons' Deaf Poetry Jam. He was on that big tour that went all
that's
big.
That's fucking awesome.
And, yeah. He was the funny one. He was the funny poet. On that tour,
cool.
He always would tell me how funny I was, and so he was kind of the one that pushed me into it.
Well, you kind of do. It does matter that somebody, I guess, who you know has that you look at as someone who's doing it,
yeah,
right?
Credible.
If it was,
yeah,
credible. If it was just a family member, then I guess maybe you just go, yeah, all right. You probably say that to all the kiddos.
Yeah.
So you get to LA, and the store. So your stand up is what to you? But you came here to be
an actress.
Yes.
Yeah. And I couldn't catch a cold, but you know, I was just doing whatever I could, doing extra work to get my SAG card. That's how I got my SAG card, and whatever it took. And then I had started doing stand up after my friend told me to do it, and then from stand up. I ended up, getting into this sketch comedy company randomly because I had studied abroad in Paris my senior year in college, ended up having this crazy love affair with this American actor in Paris.
Whoa.
Who spoke French.
Somebody get Hallmark on the phone.
Yeah. Yes. They were doing Sexual Perversity in Chicago. I saw him on stage and I was like, this guy is so hot. I don't know. He was such a good actor.
Yeah.
So the next day I came back by myself to the play and then ended up spending the last week with him. And he showed me all of Paris and he spoke French. So it was kind of this whirlwind. Then was like, see you later. And I never saw him again. Then I'm doing.
That man was David Hyde Pierce. We'll be right back. We'll cut to a headshot of David. Wow.
Yeah, then I'm doing extra work in Los Angeles. I think I was on and one of the PAs on this show, I don't remember the show. It was with Sally Field, and it was about the Supreme Court. That's all I remember.
Cool.
But one of the.
By the way, sold in the room.
Yeah, right.
It's Sally Field. It's the Supreme Court. Somebody falls in love. Somebody gets, I don't know, gonorrhea. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's my favorite.
Sally Field rules.
My favorite thing to do is my friend Bennett Weber, who's this incredible writer, him and I do this bit called Sons of Pitches whenever we're around each other, and we're constantly pitching things. And so
just
we're
like
just
that.
The two pitcher.
Let's do
people.
It.
Yeah. Okay. It stars Sandy Bullock. You got to have Sandy.
I'm in.
And it takes place in space. You don't like space. It's underwater. It's my favorite thing about the movie is that it's underwater and it's in a boat. It's not in a boat. Actually, you're right. It shouldn't be in a boat. It's in a dinghy. And they're trapped and they're heading to an island. Not an island. They're heading to Korea. You know, and like you're just constantly changing it based on the faces of the people.
Okay, let me try.
Okay.
All right. It's Tom Selleck, and he's playing football. You don't like football. He's playing ping pong. Yeah. And he's with Forrest Whitaker. You don't like black people. He's with Jet Li. And Jet Li's in a tree, but he doesn't live there. He's just fighting a killer squirrel who's trying to get... It's not a killer squirrel. It's a panda bear because of Jet Li's Chinese... I don't like the path this is going down. It's Jonathan Taylor Thomas, and he works at an AMPM.
Oh, love it.
And Tim Allen comes in and he goes, do you still have cancer? And he goes, that was a TV show. Mm-hmm. And then Tim Allen goes, oh? And then I feel like I lost you. So Sally Field comes in, Supreme Court Justice Sally Field, and she's banging away with a mallet, you know, but also she's the lady of the night.
Does
she's,
it have to be a mallet?
No, it's a dildo. And she fights crime with it, but also fights cocks. She's the town slut. It's Sally Slut. But Sally Struthers plays Sally Field. Man, yeah.
Sold.
They're sold. Oh, my God. By the way, there's got to be... What's fun about that game, there's probably... I mean, we've both probably pitched...
So many
things. But like, I would love to know what preceded or came after sometimes. Or maybe even early on, like where you're just like... Man, this is going to be great. And you somehow got in the room and you're like, what did they think when I walked out? But like, or some pictures of people that just, they, you know, they took the meeting from whatever and it was that crazy where it was like Sandy Bullock space, like gravity. Yeah, but on Mars. And they're like, how do they get there? By rocket ship. Like,
right. But that's Alien, right? They just pitched Jaws in space.
Wow. Sometimes it's that simple.
It really is just...
Simplify.
So many times. And then you see stuff and you go, who pitched
this?
And who said yes? Or
dude, where's my car with Ashton Kutcher? How the fuck did that get made? I mean, Kutcher. That's how
my
it got made.
My other favorite thing that people say is now when you take pitch meetings, they go, we're really looking for the next Yellowstone. And I go, I bet you fucking are, because you probably said no to Yellowstone.
1,000.
You probably said, Western, that's too expensive. Kevin Costner, nobody watches him anymore. I mean, how many times did that happen?
And that exec is sitting there being like, oh, yeah.
Because no one ever got fired for saying no. In this town, this whole town is based on, I don't want to get fired, so I'm going to say no.
Yeah.
Until you're the guy that said no to Yellowstone, then you do get fucking fired.
The shows I feel like that pop, like Always Sunny, who said yeah to that? Yeah. Like, what a genius that just goes, fuck yeah, like off this little pilot, these guys, like there was no...
But that was FX, right? FX back in the day was the only place that really took swings on
risks.
Weird.
Yeah.
You know, they had Baskets. I mean,
awesome.
All of those
Louis
shows.
Show, yeah.
Yeah. All of those shows were just so different.
Even what was that? Was it Duchovny? It was the, or no, it was Eddie Izzard. It was the, and the gal from Good Will Hunting. Right? They were a family.
Mini
the
Driver.
The Riches or something, or the Richie Rich was I don't know. Anyway, you get places that sometimes want to make good stuff.
Yeah. Anyway, Sally Field. Playing a Supreme Court justice.
The biggest Sally Field tangent in the history of podcasts. And by the way, Sally Field Tangent is a great band name if you're out there and you play the bass and you're looking to make a mark in the group.
Or a fantasy football name. Mm-hmm.
Sally Field Tangent. You can have it. It's coming up.
Okay.
Or do you?
I'm a huge fantasy.
I know you are. Do you have your names already locked for next season?
Or no, you're
not that crazy.
I usually always keep the same one, which is like Tiana Finn Square.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's so stupid.
They're all so stupid, dumb. But they're fun to you.
Yeah, Southern Freed. Yeah. F for Max Freed cool. is my baseball fantasy name.
Yep.
Anyway.
All right, so Sally Field.
Yeah, so anyway, this PA, it's her birthday, so I go to her birthday party and I run into the guy from Paris. And he is in a sketch comedy company, and he's like, it's so weird, but there's all these Georgia people in this company. And I go, and the girl that he's dating she's from Augusta. Her name's Camille, and she is now still one of my best friends. I have no idea what happened to the guy from Paris. I think he's still, he got married like a couple years later to another woman that spoke French. None of us spoke French. We weren't. fancy like him. So anyway, that's where I met Patrick, my writing partner, and that's how. And then he was super into movies and screenplays, and I just said, I had an idea for one. At the time, it was called Manage. It was about the first woman to ever manage a baseball team. So that was the first movie we ever wrote, and that was probably back in 2006. It was the first time we started writing movies. And so we wrote several since then, and then we decided to write a Christmas one because we go, they got to buy a Christmas one every year. Let's just take a stab at it. And we wanted to write one that was PG. We wanted to take a stab at writing a movie
that
was clean.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Is that challenging? I mean, you're not super filthy. Yeah.
No, I'm not a dirty comic anyway. If I didn't say the F word, I would be completely
very clean. Yeah. Is does having a child, your adorable son is three. Does that influence in helping to write or no? It's not like.
No, I mean, I don't get any ideas from him. I barely even get any ideas from him for stand up. You know, I mean, I do get some. I thought I would get way more.
Sure. But it's not a kid movie. It's just a PG.
Yeah. No, it's just about.
But I guess PG is for so kids could watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's about an adult man that still believes in Santa.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. But it ends up being because of, conspiracy. He's like, that's his conspiracy theory.
Does Santa make an appearance?
Oh, I mean, you'll have to watch it to find out.
Great teaser. We'll be right back. We'll keep it right here. You're already ready to do Fallon or whatever.
I mean, it was kind of based on my writing partner's brother that is, still believed in him for way too long. And so we kind of like,
almost like kids that are breastfed too long.
Yeah. But I mean, it was more because he's on the spectrum, but.
Oh, sure.
Yes.
We'll edit this out. Welcome back to Think Before You Talk.
That's not a negative thing.
Okay, yeah.
No.
You love sports.
Love sports.
Yeah.
Changing the subject.
No. We're all over the place.
We're all over the place. Love sports.
Sports and comedy, I feel like, have a real tight knit, I don't know. I'm sure you find, not only for life and like anecdotes or metaphors, but like comedy, I feel like the same way. You can kind of, they're sports and comedy as far as like, I don't know, like getting reps, the way people talk about, getting your sets in for, it's like going to the gym or doing this and like, having a bad game maybe in baseball or a set that didn't go the way you want. Like there's just a lot of similarities as far as like, the way, the grind of it, I guess.
I guess so. I think a lot of athletes love comedy.
Yeah.
A lot of comics love athletes. It's the same with musicians. We all have, every comic wants to be a rock star. Every rock star wants to be a comic.
Yeah.
It's just your fantasy of what happens between the songs, right? It's between, I think rock stars love comedy because they think, oh man, it'd be so great to make people laugh between songs. And I think comedians love rock stars and want to be rock stars because like, wow, I really wish I had a guitar to play over all this quiet times.
Yeah.
That's really what it comes down to. And so I think when it comes to athletes, it's just a different muscle. Mm. We just flex different muscles.
Did you play sports?
I played sports a little bit, but once I got into high school, I wasn't good enough to keep going.
Yeah.
And we never had the money to do camps over the summer or anything like that. So now I'm going to force my child into it.
And then I'll get to live vicariously. By the way, he is a freak of nature.
He is.
And I'm going to say this. There are people that, and I used to be like that with my nephew, where you'd see a little bit of skill set and you're like, this kid's going pro. And I have a buddy that has a kid like that where he says it, but I think deep down he knows the kid, I don't even think he'll make the sixth grade basketball team.
Oh, no.
But he's like putting all his eggs in that basket a little bit too hard, where he's like, dude, you throw him the ball and, man, it hits him in the face. But then he picks it up. And then with the way he picks it up, and then he starts chewing on it. But he chews on it like the passion in his eyes. And you're like, it's not going to happen. But your son is like, I mean, you generously will post some videos of him hitting 500-foot drives.
No, not 500.
But the hand-eye coordination at his age is above average.
It is definitely above average, to the point where I'm a little surprised sometimes. You know, we maybe about a month ago, we started playing baseball in the backyard, just throwing the ball or like trying to get him to hit a ball in the air, because he had been to a party and all the kids were hitting the ball in the air. And so he came back and was like,
I want to do that.
And he was like, I'm only hitting the ball in the air now. And I'm like, but the tee's right there. He was still two at the time. And so
all these social like pressures and just like, apparently this is what 2-year-olds do now. So time to adjust, mom.
Well, no, it was an older party. It wasn't even a 2-year-old party. It was a 4-year-old party. A kid turned 4.
That's a big age difference.
It is, yeah.
Right?
So he was about to turn 3, so it's really just a year age difference. Because a lot of our play date friends are a year older.
I think that's smart.
Yeah, I mean, that just happened to be, like, my friend had a kid a year before I did, and so we were hanging out and doing music class at their house, which you don't have to be an age for, and then now we have all these friends that are 4.
Cool.
That's just the way it happened.
Cool.
So anyway, so then he comes home and he's like, I'm just going to hit the ball in the air now. And so we just started practicing in the backyard, but I took a different approach than we did with golf, because I didn't really take an approach with golf. It was just, hey, you got a little plastic golf club. And then he just started whacking it and he would break every golf club. So then we had to get him a real golf club. But Chris kept saying all the things that he was doing wrong and like coaching him and be like, oh no, hold your arm straight or do it like this or oh no, don't duff it, you know, like all that. And I'm like, he's 2. Like, at the time he was 1.
Don't duff it.
He literally walked.
What are you, 2?
he literally walked to pick up a golf club. That was the whole reason he walked. And so I said, let's just tell him what he's doing right. Don't tell him anything he's doing wrong. A coach will tell him what he's doing wrong. Let's just encourage him to keep playing, because that's the hardest part. It's like, I just don't want you to quit. I don't want him to get frustrated and quit doing things and give up. So that's the approach we took. And it took about 2 weeks, and then he just is hitting the ball in the air, and now he throws it. Now we have to play baseball outside because he throws it way too hard in the house.
Oh my God.
And it's coming. But he also thinks every ball he hits is a home run, and he'll do a bat flip. And then he runs the bases 3 times, so he gets 3 RBIs on a solo home run.
Cool.
Which is a really impressive feat.
Yeah, it really is.
So just trying to enjoy all of those moments. But yeah, hand-eye coordination, and I think a big part of it came because he walked really late. Mm. And the longer you crawl, the better you are at hand-eye coordination. Because in order to put your left hand forward and your right knee forward and alternate, you are using your left brain and your right brain. So that helps your hand-eye coordination. So whenever you see people go, oh, I never walked, or I never crawled, I went straight to walking, then watch them, see how often they trip.
They're goofy, usually pretty bastards, clumsy. Probably. So when you see someone crush at Dance Dance Revolution at a Dave & Buster's, you're like, oh, that guy crawled for days.
Crawled
to the Dave & Buster's. Wow. So you said you don't get a lot of material from him.
No.
By the way, you can say his name?
I mean, yeah, Cage.
Cage. great name.
Thank you.
Obviously named after Michael Cage, the Seattle Supersonics power forward. So, yes. Which, by the way, I just want to commend you on that choice.
That's how much we are in the sports. We did a deep dive into sports.
What is it? Where does it come from?
It came from Nicolas Cage, because we were watching the...
Oh, my God. Yes. Not too far off.
No, no, no.
Nicolas Cage is the Michael Cage of acting.
At the time, I was writing on Lights Out with David Spade when I was pregnant, and my head writer had written on SNL for a long time, and we were all talking in the room, writer's room one day about how hard it was for me to come up with a name, and he goes, oh, did you ever see the baby naming sketch on SNL? And I said, no. And so he showed it to me, and I laughed. I took it home, and I showed it to Chris, and it stars Nicolas Cage and Julia Sweeney.
Amazing.
And Chris goes, oh, Cage is kind of a cool name. And we were looking for a C name so that him and Cage could have the same initials.
That's really sweet.
And so, and then I thought, oh, yeah, because that sounds sporty, but without too much pressure. Like, if he doesn't go into sports, it's okay. And then if he does... like, we're not naming him Speed and he's slow, you know?
Oh, my God. So funny.
Yeah, we're not naming him Dinger and he can't hit a home run.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like there's
backstroke.
Not...
he's allergic to water. Yeah. This really backfired. Should have called him Backfire. But then he's got back knee, so, you know, it's always on. He's allergic to Neosporin. I don't know. Sorry. Yeah, so
that's exactly right. Yeah. So you have to think about that.
You
stuff.
Do.
And we also wanted a name that we didn't, because we kept coming up with names, and then we'd be like, oh, so-and-so has a kid named that, and they're kind of an asshole. So then,
or there's the thing of, like, I had an ex named, you know, but what,
yes,
right? Like, you,
absolutely.
You, whatever the association.
Yes. Yes. And so that was the first one that we had said that we neither one of us had a negative association with.
Cool.
And we didn't know anyone else with that name.
So, it would have been awesome if Chris was like, I hate Nicolas Cage. I think he's an underrated performer. I think Con Air, I didn't buy it.
I might have had this baby solo if he thought so.
This is the red flag I was looking for.
Finally.
Wow.
The last red flag.
Yeah, yeah.
Goes
the
in
last
the...
red flag. Great title. Great title for a rom-com.
Yeah.
The special, you're... there's, I think it's tough to be somebody who's, you didn't start writing first and then do stand-up, did you?
No, I stand-up did stand-up first.
Okay.
Then became a writer slowly, yeah.
Do some people see you in the writing world and then they're like, oh, you do stand-up? And then they're like, this has happened to me when I would see someone that I didn't know maybe did stand-up, but I knew them only as a writer and then see them on stage. And there's some people that start doing writing and then try to... my point is, go to stand up, and it doesn't translate.
No.
Because you just.
Because you write like a writer in a writer's room.
Yes.
And like those jokes in a room don't always translate.
Yes.
And sometimes the jokes you write in a room are not evergreen.
Right.
And so they don't last as long, you know.
You got both going. And so.
And then it works the other way too, whereas a lot of comics are not good joke writers or screenwriters or TV show writers.
Totally.
Yeah. So it works both ways.
How did you pick the set you did for the special? There's a lot of. Because, you know, you've been, it's about, what, 34, almost 40
minutes?
Yep. Yeah. Which I think is smart, too. I think more and more people are going to start going that way because it's like, I don't know. When I watch a special, I watch it in pieces.
Mm-hmm.
30 was easy to get through.
Thursday.
And, like, made me want more.
Oh, thank you. That's nice.
And I feel like that's a real sweet spot that more and more people probably start going after because it's like, I don't know, we're... everyone's so clip crazy anyway.
Yeah. No, I didn't even want to release it. I just wanted to release it 30 to 60 seconds at a time on my reels because that's where most people watch my stand-up anyway. And I had an hour before the pandemic.
Yeah.
I was never recorded myself. Don't write anything down. I was just one of those people. I mean, I have like the names of the bits written down, but I don't remember what the bit is. And to the point where now I've hired a company to do all my social media and they find stuff and I go, oh my God, that joke was so fun. I forgot all about that joke.
Wow.
And so because of the pandemic, I didn't have anything written down. And so I lost about 30 minutes of material or maybe about 20 minutes. And so then I... then the Comedy Store came to me and they just said, we're getting into the specials game and we kind of want to start with you. And we know with me and Justin, and they knew that if they did right by us, that other people would follow. And so, because we're kind of like the baby sister and baby brother of the store.
Fuck yeah.
And so And because they did such a great job, and I think Sosis, who produced it, is, you know,
crushed it.
Is such a good, so good at all of that.
He's a great advocate for comedians. Yes. and just getting things going and thinking big and trying to not take no for an answer.
Yeah, we had a lot of trouble selling it, so that's why we ended up putting it on YouTube. It's just really difficult to sell a special in today's day and age if you don't already have 7 on Netflix. So, yeah, you know, like, that's just where it is. And, like, I think a lot of people think, oh, you're supposed to put out a special every year. I've never been like that. I it takes me a really long time to really formulate an act to where I would even release a clip of it. I'm just very precious with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It takes me a really long time to really work something out to the place, to a place where I'm comfortable showing it to the world.
How long did it take you to form, I guess, the order and just all the bits that you wanted to do? Because you were probably then looking at a giant shelf of, like, all sorts of stories and bits and being like, well, then if I'm going to, you know, put this up and have it be at the store, and, like, there's probably extra meaning where you're like, I really, like, want this to be my...
I thought it would be much longer. It was 2 weeks because they said we have to do it on May 1st if we're going to do it. And that literally a year ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so I didn't have long to overthink it. So I'm kind of glad that that happened. And that material was pretty old.
Cool.
And it needed to be retired.
Cool.
So that I could kind of get rid of it, move on, and start this next chapter of now I have a toddler and, like, really talking about being a mom.
Mm.
I kind of touch on it in the special, but I'll get into it more.
You have one great bit about guys. I'm not going to make you do it, but I just want to hear more about guys, like, not, like, just still thinking they can go pro and, like, not letting go athletically. And that's just, it was really your cadence and your, like, sweetness to, like, kind of, you know, and sarcasm in talking about that is such a universal thing felt by even dudes that don't maybe play sports.
That was the sports gods.
What the fuck?
That was so loud. Sorry.
I'm like, if I was 70, I'm done. I'm dead. That's the type of noise it takes out a 70-year-old man.
Oh my god.
You
always make my stomach hurt with laughter. You make me laugh so hard.
My god, that it was one of my favorite bits, and such a sports fan and being around, like, where did that, and I guess this is my question just in maybe your writing, like, where does that bit, like, where do you get the idea for it? Was it happen just from, like, being with Chris, being around dudes in general, like, seeing, knowing probably more guys that think they could go pro than actual pro athletes? Because every dude has a piece of that, whether they play it through video games or in a rec league. I remember playing in a kickball league out here when I first graduated and seeing guys that I was like, hey, like, NBA scouts aren't coming to the kickball league. Like, what are you kicking so hard for? What are you fighting with the ump for? That was me. But, like, just the seriousness and the level of competitiveness that dudes have is... Yeah, so where's the bit?
It definitely comes from Chris.
Yeah.
He is the first person that I had been with in a really long time that was just such a dude. Like, just dude. All to the core dude. Like, just, I don't know anything else. But, I mean, I eat 3 different things. When I first met him, I think he ate hummus every day.
Wow.
Would he correct
you and go, it's hummus?
No.
Please leave. Yeah, okay,
he just reminded me of my dad so much. Just like, I'm good at a couple things, and I have an opinion, and I don't like to try new things. I eat, you know, that's why I eat the same 3 things. I like this. He just had a routine, and
I eat my bagel bites.
Yeah.
I put on my Murder, She Wrote, and I sit on the couch, and I brush my feet. You're like, what was,
like,
that last one?
How are you 35 and you already do this, and my dad is 70. So,
wow.
Anyway, and then a lot of it came from one time I would give him tasks to do because he really didn't know how to, like, cooking, like, baking cookies. He would be like, oh, I'm very good at it. And I'm like, you know what? I'll keep this. I'll hold
this
on to the cookie baking
a Sarah thing.
Part. Yeah.
Oh my God.
And I have these peanut butter cookies that I make at Christmas, and they're really just, you put the peanut butter dough in a mini muffin tin, and when it comes out of the oven, you put a Reese cup in it. It's very simple, very easy, not difficult.
By the way, you lost me after, like, putting a thing like that. I'm also not a
mini muffin
chef.
Tin.
Yeah.
Yes.
That sounds delicious, though.
But literally, the hardest part of that recipe is unwrapping the chocolate. And so
oh my God.
Bring over a bag of Reese's peanut butter cups and a trash can. And I go, and a bowl. And I go, can you just unwrap these for me? And he must have had 18 questions. What do you, all the way? Yes, all the way.
All the way?
What about
both wrappers? Kid taking a bra off for the first time.
Both wrappers, you know, both wrappers. Yes, both wrappers. Then make sure you put the wrappers in the trash and the chocolate in the bowl. Don't mix that up because that would really
So be put an the
issue.
Trash in the bowl?
Yeah.
By the way, unless he was high, there's no excuse for these questions.
I know.
I once put a full pizza attached to the cardboard in the oven, but I was baked out of my mind.
He was watching a game. He doesn't.
Oh, okay. Can't multitask.
He didn't drink. He doesn't do nothing.
Right, right.
He only drank water when I met him. And
not even like flavored water?
Not even flavored water. I said, what about coffee? Don't drink coffee. Tea? Don't drink. I'm like, I'm not dating a camel, right? Now
camel.
He drinks alcohol. Thank God.
Good. Thank God.
Yes, because you can't date me and be sober. He quickly realized that.
So funny.
So anyway, I basically put this in front of him, watching the TV, giving him something to do. And then he started taking the wrappers. Then he put the trash can further in front of the TV so he could start making shots.
Everything's a game.
So proud
with
of it.
With form.
While he's watching the basketball game, right?
He'd hold it up.
Also, we're watching the U.S. Open. I need to go to the driving range, right? You know? Or I'm watching the tennis, that U.S. Open. We should play tennis. Anything he's watching on TV, he thinks he can still do. And then he played rec league basketball, and so I would go to his games, and that's why I wrote a couple of bits based on that and just my experience with watching him. And then we went to a lot more sporting events together.
Cool.
And then watching men in general interact in those sporting events. I mean, nothing I talk about on stage is not true. I can't just make stuff up. So all of it came from that. And then I finally stopped going to his rec league games because one time one of his friends said, we always know when you're here because we can hear you laughing. And I go, oh God, I'm not coming anymore.
Laughing at what?
Yeah, I was just like giggling because they would take it so seriously.
Oh yeah.
And they would get so mad and then yell at the refs.
Yeah.
And then,
I yelled at a wheelchair ref once. I'm not proud of it, but it was a shitty call. You know who you are. Yeah. My feet were planted. It was a charge.
I mean, we're in a middle school gym. You know what I mean?
Like, this is not the backdrop.
This is not.
No. The refs are getting paid $15 an hour.
You know, they're.
They don't want to be there.
They don't want to be there. No. And they don't want, you know, men who are their age yelling at them. I don't understand. So.
There should be a thing where you walk into a men's rec league game and they have you sign not a waiver for like injuries, but a waiver of like, you know that you're not getting drafted from this game. Or like,
right.
like almost signing away like your acknowledgement of like, you know this it doesn't matter type
right.
of, right? Like, but but even then, I don't know. What is...
I get so mad that...
You would giggle. That's so... We hear you
so
laughing.
And
there's nothing a guy who's at full competitive mode will take to the heart quicker than a giggle from the stands.
So I just said, nope, not going to do it anymore. You know, it's also, I think that's why golf is kind of a bane in my existence. I never played golf. And I think that's because my dad was a really big golfer. And, you know, he had two daughters and my mom. And we lived alone in Georgia. We didn't have any family around us. And so my dad would go golfing. And one day I was like, why doesn't daddy ever take us golfing? And my mom was like, he needs this. He needs a break. And so I just thought, you know what? That's right.
Yeah.
This is a
break. His thing.
This
yep.
is your thing. I do not need to be involved in your thing. You can have your own thing.
Yeah.
And then I met Chris and he's like, why don't you ever come golfing with me? And I think it's because
you were conditioned to kind of.
I was conditioned for that. But also, I think in his brain, he doesn't. I don't know how good he is unless I come and watch him play.
Right.
You know, and so it's gotten better because now so many people tell me how good he is.
Cool.
And he's can, you know, and, you know, be proud
You're
of
so
it.
Cute.
But I have gone golfing with him several times, but I just feel very uncomfortable. And I also feel bad that I'm out there hitting a ball and I don't care.
Gotcha.
And, you know, I don't want to slow anybody down or, you know.
Yeah,
and then also he gets mad that I don't care enough. Or like one time I birdied a hole. He got so mad at that. And I, you know, it was just luck because I just I hit a good drive. And then I know how to play. I mean, the first time I ever played golf was at, oh my gosh, this will make golfers so mad.
Some really nice
Pinehurst.
Course.
Oh, yeah. 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 Where they some have the U.S.
place.
Open.
Yeah. They had really good hot dogs.
Not what number three, yeah. Not Pinehurst three. But yeah, I was out there for a military show and it was...
Starting a business feels a lot like starting a podcast. At first, you're sitting there going, dude, is this genius or am I about to embarrass myself publicly for the next 5 years? And honestly, that little panic never fully goes away. I remember when we first started building my show, every little thing felt complicated. Logos, merch ideas, websites, promoting the episodes. It's a lot. That's why I wish something like Shopify had been around when we were first getting started. Shopify is a commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world and 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. They make it ridiculously easy to build a clean online store with templates that actually look professional, even if you're figuring it out as you go. And the AI tools, dude, they're wild. Shopify can help write product descriptions, page headlines, even improve your product photos. So instead of spending 8 hours trying to sound like a marketing genius, you can actually focus on your biz or your podcast or whatever dream is currently keeping you awake like me at 2 to 3 a.m. Plus, Shopify handles everything in one place. Inventory, payments, analytics, shipping, all of it. And that purple Shop Pay button? Absolute game changer. Fewer abandoned carts, more people actually buying your stuff. It's time to turn those what-ifs into with Shopify today. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at Shopify.com/aboutlastnight. Go to Shopify.com/aboutlastnight. That's Shopify.com/aboutlastnight. How cool is it that he, I'm sure you were a fan of Rich Eisen before. Like, is it just cool to like, to go on the show? You're always great with him, but it's like, I don't know, for
a sports fan.
Yes.
I didn't actually watch his show. It was pretty early. It had just started when we first started dating. It's, but I mean, I remember seeing him on the patio of the Comedy Store, and I said, that's my boyfriend. And it took me so long to convince him of that. But, you know, he was, you know, I used to have this bit, I think you probably remember it, about deal breakers and all the reasons, the things that I don't like in a guy. You know, you can't have a roommate, you can't, you know, your car can't be a mess because that means your room's a mess, which means your life's a mess, you know, all this stuff. You have to valet. All this stuff. And literally Chris did every single one. I mean, he had a roommate. He was a total, like, he had a trail leading to his bed in his room because it was so messy.
What, like neon, like,
no,
like,
no, no. Tape,
like
no,
fun, like Nintendo trackpad?
No, like, there's just so much
stuff in the room. Oh,
gotcha. That there was a path.
Wow.
Yeah. And.
You saved him.
Oh, yeah, right. No, but. But then I met him, and he brought something to the table that I had never had in my life, where I was just so proud of him all the time. Cool. And that was the first person that I ever dated that I found myself really bragging about.
Whoa.
When he wasn't around.
Whoa.
Yeah. And like, and I'm still just constantly proud of him. He's just so smart and good. And he's just such a genius when it comes to sports. It makes it very easy when you're a comedy sports writer.
Yeah.
Because I don't ever have to Google anything. I can
just
say.
He knows it all. Yeah, he really is.
I started doing baseball jokes on Mondays. And the other day I said, who's the person known for doing the most coke in baseball? Because I wanted to do a joke about the elevation at the baseball game in Mexico. I'm just like, oh, that field was higher than. You know, so instead of Googling it, I could just ask him because he's sitting right next to me, and he goes, "You should just say the 86 Mets," and I go, "Okay."
Wow!
So it makes
also a fun thing to include him in on. It's like,
oh, yeah.
Right?
He loves
like,
it.
Yeah, because he's a big comedy
it.
Nerd.
Yeah, he's a comedy guy. He's very funny himself.
Totally, yeah. Which is why he compliments Rich so well. And getting, I mean, I think I met him at I'd known him from the show, but then met him at the Big Poppy Roast.
Oh, right. Yes.
I don't even think we've talked about that since.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I'm so bummed that it never aired. But maybe it was for the right reason. I don't know. We were also.
I'm kind of glad because I was so blacked out drunk when I went up.
You were hammered.
You told me that.
But you, yeah.
2 days later when I finally came.
But you murdered. So, like,
there was a teleprompter.
No, I don't know. Like, you also had a smoothness to you. And, like, I don't think people knew. You and I and Josh Wolf were sitting next to each other, and so I think I knew that you were boozing, but I was also in full makeup, so like who knows what was going on in my head. And also Gronk had just pitched me. He's like,
He's like, hey, what do you think about this joke about talking about titty fucking Josh Wolf's wife after I shit on her chest? I go, yeah, I mean, I don't know what the, is that. So where's the joke again? But like, definitely,
I wouldn't do the chest.
Yeah, I'd leave the poop out of it. But like, I think just it's already the visuals there, if that's what you're going for. And then he was like, so don't open with it. I was like, I mean, if you're asking me, do I want to see you do that? 1,000%, Gronk. Like, you're also asking me dressed as an 80-year-old man. So like, everything about this moment right now is a little
NyQuil-y.
And so he did it, and it bombed. And then he in very Gronk fashion goes, fuck you guys, I thought it was funny. And I was like, awesome.
Yeah. No, he doesn't care.
That was such a cool weekend. And getting to sit in the
the
owner's box to watch David Ortiz get his
number retired.
Which was crazy too, because I went to Poppy's house with Josh Wolf and Anthony Mackie to smoke a blunt in his backyard because Josh's buddies with him.
And when?
After the roast.
Oh, I was too hammered to later. Even know that that was, yeah.
Oh, we told you. No, I'm done. You said something about, the 86 Mets. And then,
but that was Catherine Veritek, Justin Veritek's wife. They got you drunk? Hammered.
Oh, wow.
She got me a drink and I hadn't eaten that day. I was pretty nervous.
Yeah, me too.
And then next thing I know, yeah.
Wow.
I don't know.
Did you have fun though?
Oh, I had a blast.
Yeah.
I've seen videos of it. It's not as bad as I have it pictured in my head. But that's because I wrote a lot of really good jokes and the fact that I got them out. And then I think I called an audible on my first joke, which was just about, because I was getting called a whore because I was the only woman on the show. So what else are people going to call me? And also, but I don't have a reputation either of like, I haven't had a DUI or, anything bad. So people just call me a whore. And then I said, oh, you guys are giving me a lot of credit. My list of sexual partners is a lot like Dustin Pedroia. It is incredibly short. And
a lot of short jokes.
A lot of short jokes. So then that went over well.
Yeah.
I was kind of off.
Yeah. is there a true, like, is there a roast? Like, I know they're going to maybe do a Brady one.
Mm-hmm.
Is there like an athlete where you're like, that you love so much that you would love to, maybe not even roast, but like meet? One of the cool things, I mean, the fact that we got to do that because of comedy is bonkers. The fact that NFL Pylon on Amazon with Taron Killam, you know, like all these cool opportunities from comedy. Is there, I guess, Hank Aaron's your favorite baseball player, right?
Yeah.
R.I.P.
Mm-hmm.
But
Chipper Jones would be fantastic.
You haven't met Chipper?
No, I've never met. Well, I mean, not. I met him when I worked for the Braves in 99 and 2000, which was two great years to work for them. I was the one that shot the t-shirts out of the cannon. And
shut the fuck up.
Animals.
Why don't you open the podcast with that fun fact?
Sorry.
You were a t-shirt
That's
cannon
not what
girl?
I was doing last night.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Sorry. You're right. All right. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I was a t-shirt
How do you
cannon.
Get that gig?
Great question. There was a company called Sports Magic that started in Orlando with the Orlando Magic.
Sounds right.
And so they, ad in the paper back in the day. And I just answered the ad. And then we had to go to Orlando.
What was the interview like?
No, you had to.
Do this for me real quick. Do that. Scream who wants a free fucking t-shirt.
It was really just an interview to see like if you had energy.
Pizzazz,
and
enthusiasm.
But we had to do fan player interviews, so you had to have...
But you crushed that.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was when John Rocker played, and he was my favorite relief... He's still one of my favorite relief pitchers of all time.
Great. The best run out of the bullpen, right? Didn't he go full charge? Like,
I'm on a rock!
Yeah, but didn't he full on sprint?
Out. Oh, yeah.
Every other guy, I feel like, takes their sweet-ass time.
But it wasn't just that he... I mean, I feel like, I feel like it was... It wasn't just that he had a great intro, but he was lights out. Like, he had a fastball that wouldn't quit. He was so good as a relief pitcher in an era where, we were in the World Series. We got swept by the Yankees, but we were in it.
And that's a coveted spot.
Coveted spot. Not easy to do. And then that's why, when you, say something dumb and then it's in the papers and then everybody calls you
a racist.
You're a pitcher. You can't just let that go.
Yeah.
And that's obviously. And, he made a terrible mistake. But nowadays. I mean, people are even worse than that.
I mean, I was just going to say,
there's so bad. I mean, we have a guy on the Braves right now that is on camera hitting his wife when the police show up. He still plays for them because they can't get rid of his con. You know, everything in baseball is guaranteed. That's a whole other subject. But, you know, it's anyway.
So Chipper Jones would be a guy that if you could I don't know, interview, hang with, I guess.
But also a great roast because, you know, famous for having sex with an Applebee's knocking up a Hooters waitress.
He is?
Yeah.
Cool. Is that his wife?
No.
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 He has a kid with an Applebee's waitress.
No, a Hooters waitress. Man, that was probably in 96 or
something. Wow.
Yeah, early on.
By the way, good for Hooters. That was probably great press, right? Chipper Jones eats here in more than one way. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what the commercial is, but
he's walked it back now, but he was famously said, you know, Sandy Hook didn't happen.
Chipper.
He walked it back.
Okay, good.
He figured it out.
Good, good, good.
You know, he was shown the light and he apologized.
Cool,
but,
cool.
You know, now he's the Braves hitting, one of their hitting coaches. So,
favorite sports movie of all time?
Probably League of Their Own.
Wow. Why?
Yeah. Because it's Penny Marshall and it's women and it's baseball. And I mean, Tom Hanks it's one of his best performances. I mean, most baseball movies, that and Major League have to be up there. Major League is much funnier. So sports comedy.
Major League might be my favorite, or Sandlot.
Yeah.
Why 44 for the name of the special? Available on YouTube now, streaming everywhere on YouTube.
It was the age I was when I recorded it, and it was Hank Aaron's number.
Whoa, cool.
Yeah.
The intro is fucking rad.
Thank you.
You got to watch it to see it, but the way it got, very clever.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
This has been great.
Thanks
for making time.
Thanks for having
Flew by.
Me. Yeah.
A treat. We're going to close this out with a little Inside the Actor Studio 10-question questionnaire. When I set this up, Mark Maron goes, oh, what do you got, a game? And then we started laughing, and then we did it. And he did it begrudgingly, but it was fun. Neil Brennan said, no, I'm not doing that.
That sounds like
And then we did it, and it ended up okay. So this is the 10-question questionnaire that Lipton...
Why do you gotta play a game? Yeah. Is that Neil?
Yeah.
And Mark.
So this is, I'm going to play James Lipton,
okay.
And RIP, and we're going to get to know Sarah Tiana a little bit better with the end of this questionnaire.
Okay.
Welcome back to the show. I'm with Sarah Tiana, star of 44, streaming now on YouTube. Sarah, what is your favorite word?
My favorite word? No.
Use it in a sentence.
No, I don't want to play the rest of this game.
Oh, I don't like your attitude. What is your least favorite word?
It's the P word, for a woman's privates. Yeah. Not a fan.
Not a fan either.
Not a fan. I don't say it.
I go out of my way to never use it on stage. Now, that being said, have I slipped up and just been a dude in a crowd work thing of
of course.
I did it once I can think of right now where even as I said it, I go, ugh. But it sounded funny because I was talking to a kid that was describing a video game so in depth. And I just paused and I go, Clayton, do you know what a... And I was like, and it got a big laugh. And I go, it sounded better than another word for it. But afterwards, I was like, I don't like that I said that.
It doesn't sound right coming out of my mouth either. But I also feel like it is...
I attach it to I don't know. It just feels very
I just attach it to some sort of crutch that some people use in comedy.
Yeah.
So I'm not a fan.
Cool, me too. what turns you on? And it can be sexual or not.
Oh, Matthew
McConaughey
the
said confidence.
Winning a baseball game.
Yes, okay, great.
I watch every single Braves baseball game and my entire mood of the day is based on how they do that day.
I think I want to name my kid Ron Gant.
Okay.
Or Adam Pendleton Jr.
Adam,
based after Terry Pendleton. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the best third base. Yeah.
When Sid Bream. We've talked about this, but that Braves team, when the Mariners were dog shit, was my favorite other team. Also, because once they started playing on TBS.
And Chip Carey and Ron, what was that guy's name?
No,
the guy. Talk back that.
Skip Carey.
Uh huh.
And then you had another guy that the Mariners had for a little bit. His son, I think. Something Carey. No. Who was the other main guy that did the Braves
Don
games?
Don Simpson?
Yes, Don Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's another guy. Not important. I just went to Atlanta to shoot something and went to a Braves game on my day off.
Mm.
And then I'm going to back to do the Punchline in a couple weeks, May 18th through the 20th. And the Mariners, I planned a lot of weekends year around the Mariners being there because I got to know a bunch of the guys. And I can't wait to see them there because that stadium's great.
It's great. The battery is awesome. You got to go to Baseballism, the store Baseballism.
What's
that's
that?
Right there. They just make T-shirts and apparel based on baseball.
Do they
have the famous shirt that I always love that says 6 + 4 - 3 = 2, which is a 6-4-3 double play in a scorecard.
Unless you're shooting it out of a cannon, I'm not buying it.
Oh, the T-shirt. Well, okay. I'll try to shoot. If you it home, if you order it, I'll shoot it out of a cannon.
When you go to games, do you like judge? Are you kind of like, the form?
They're
pointing it too low.
They stopped doing the cannons because people kept falling out of the second deck.
Good reason to stop it.
Now they do slingshots.
Can you imagine that's your story? Oh, I'm sorry. The way you giggled at Chris's rec league games. If you go to a funeral and they're like, Jake was a good guy, man. And he wanted that shirt, but he also wanted to live. And the stadium isn't set up to hold. He was a big guy. Yeah, we always told him, man, you're too big to, you shouldn't be jumping.
Don't reach.
Don't reach, man. We'll get it for you. And I'm reaching for you now. Yeah. All right. What turns you off?
Turns me off if the Braves lose.
What is your favorite curse word?
Fuck.
What sound or noise do you love?
What sound or
noise
do you love? The crack of a bat.
What sound or noise do you hate?
What sound or noise do I hate? I hate the sound of dental floss being used, and I hate like cracking bones.
Oof.
Like
knuckles cracking?
Chris, he'll like go
With
his neck.
Yeah. That'll do you in.
Yeah. I get like a sprig of sweat immediately. My body just has a weird reaction to it.
Like if somebody sent you so you'd rather watch like filthy, awful, violent porn than like a chiropractor compilation video.
Yes.
That was the next question. Okay. Lipton had a weird fucking closing of these 10 grand.
Sure.
Would you rather watch porn or chiropractor? What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
I'd love to be a murder investigator, like a detective.
Ooh, maybe you can play a detective in your movie.
Maybe.
Did you have a title? No, there's a story for it, right? Not
it's
the title.
The Planners right now.
The Planners. Oh, fuck. That also feels like it could be a Ocean's 8 type star-studded cast.
Yes, for sure.
Right?
All women planning a movie.
Let me cast it for you right now with,
Sandy Bullock.
I'll put in a good word.
I know that's right. Oh, I forgot.
Oh,
you know
man.
Her.
Oh, sexing with her two days ago.
Whenever we do the pitch, it's always Sandy Bullock. And we call it, instead of Sandra, we know her, Sandy Bullock.
Well, she's Sandy once you get to know her. If you for sure, once you get to that place and you want me to like pass along, I'll straight up forward it to her.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. You just got to let me play the Jewish deli owner with a heart of gold. And you're like, Adam,
the guy that we murder.
Done. if it's sent to her and she does it, done. I'd probably throw in right now, I really like Caitlin Olsen, the Ashley Olsen, Mary Kate. She's crushing it. Our girl
Elizabeth Olsen.
That's who it is. Yeah, I'm a big fan. Sally Field, got to throw in there.
Sure.
Our girl. And then I feel like you need a deep cut, like Raven Simone, like the same way that they had, not Erykah Badu, who was in Ocean's 8? They had, Kravitz, right? Wasn't Zoe Kravitz? No.
Oh, Zoe Kravitz.
No.
And then there's the girl that was in Glass Onion, the singer.
Yep. Zendaya? No.
No. I'm so bad.
Rihanna. Rihanna was in Ocean's 8. Oh. And that's who you're thinking of too, right?
No, I'm not thinking of her. Sorry.
Yikes.
Anyway, everyone's screaming at home because they know the answer.
How do you not know the cast of Glass Onion? What profession other than your own would you not like to do?
Oh, a teacher.
Yeah, that seems tough. Although I feel like you would crush it.
I was a substitute teacher here for a little while, and I took it way too serious. I mean, I was writing letters home, and I was there for a day. I took it way too seriously.
What grade?
Elementary school. And I was always in inner city, like rough schools.
Oh, wow.
And I was just like taking it.
Your sweetness was taken advantage of.
Oh,
wow.
I can change in it. It was.
You got to go with that attitude.
You do, but.
Man, that's a tough.
It's just heartbreaking when you don't get met halfway, you know, either by the school or the parent.
Did they call you Miss Tiana or Miss Haynes?
They call me Miss Tiana.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And when I taught high school, I would show them stand-up clips if they did all their work.
Cool.
Yeah.
Great reward. You need incentives.
You need incentives.
And you need comedy. Comedy, if you can get through to the kiddos with comedy, I feel like you can.
Yeah.
You can.
My sister is a very good teacher, and I just, now that I have a toddler, I'm like, nope, I can't. Fuck that. I don't have enough patience to do it all day.
If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
You got a funny way of doing things, right?
We'll edit
you're
this
funny.
Out. That's amazing. That's maybe one of the best answers we've heard.
You got a funny way of doing things.
You got a funny
I'm
way of
doing. I died in a funny way.
Because that's also like. God, like, I don't know. I picture God, like, sitting back in a chair, drinking like an all sport. And he's just like, you're funny
drinking
way
a liquid death.
Drinking a liquid death. Oh, my God. Great sponsor.
Funny
great
way
commercial.
Doing
yeah, you got a funny way of doing things.
I do know I want my tombstone to say, finally a nap I don't have to wake up from.
Funny. A funny tombstone, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what you were really good at that I just remembered of was Mo's show Comedy Knockout that you and Brad and I did for True TV.
Oh, yeah.
Great
yeah,
episode. Yeah. Hey, if you can find it somewhere, every now and then people post little GIFs and memes
I
and whatnot.
I posted clips of me and Brad on that.
Yeah.
I guess you were on that episode with us too. I guess they haven't found
it. I got knocked
clip.
Out of it. Yeah. But Brad, you know, it was kind of like Sarah Tiana, joke heavyweight, and then, hey, tough to overshadow a dwarf. Mm-hmm. Brad and I went to a Laker game once, and he got us a courtside seat somehow. He won through an auction or whatever, mm-hmm. and he was dancing. On the way to the game, I go, Brad, kiss cam? He goes, I'm in. And then I go, dance cam? He's like, should we plan something? And it starts going, and Brad gets up, and he's going to town, and everyone's going nuts. And it was sold out, and they wouldn't cut to him on the Jumbotron, so it was erupting. People were getting louder and louder because they're like, cut to the fucking dancing dwarf. And finally they did, and the place went nuts. And Brad like closed it out, and I'm sitting behind him videotaping and just fist pumping like an asshole. And all my buddies were like, dude, why didn't you get up and dance with him? I go, because nobody goes,
no.
Hey, who's that guy behind the dancing midget? It's the only thing that trumps dancing dwarf is more dancing dwarf. If another dwarf had popped over my shoulder, mm-hmm. and like that's the only thing that could have joined cancel me, but it yeah.
You're like, if I could have lifted him up and then he did a flip, that's the only thing I have.
That guy surprises me all the time. He had a vitamin water in between his feet and he flipped it up to himself. And I'm sitting there and I just go, what the fuck was that?
I know.
I go, I've been friends with you 10 years. I don't know you could do that. He goes, every time you hang, you're going to learn something new. He's like about my people. But he goes, what am I do? Get off the chair? I go, yeah, I guess not.
I remember, I don't know if you remember, but I happened to be playing Tahoe when you guys were up there for his bachelor party.
Oh, yeah.
And I come and I join you guys, and you're playing craps. He's standing on a chair.
Yep.
Playing craps, yep. Rolling dice. There's a crowd around.
Yep.
And I just ask him, I go, what did you do today? And he goes, oh, we went to a brunch, you know, then we went and rode jet skis. I have no idea what he said after we rode jet skis. Because I started imagining Brad on a jet ski.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, is he flying? Is he holding on? And then his little legs are flying in the wind. I'm like,
picture
it.
Is he holding on?
And so maybe a couple weeks later, I see him again and I go, I got to ask. And he goes, well, I'm very good on a jet ski because I have a lot of grip with my thighs.
Yeah.
And you just, you know, it's all in the wrist.
Yeah.
And I go, okay, great. Yeah. Now I don't have to imagine.
I can sleep.
For 2 weeks, I have been trying to figure out how this is possible.
That was amazing. We were in a nice little craps winning streak, and there was a crowd because Brad kept, people would come over, Brad would go, make a wish, rub my head, whatever. I mean, walking through Brad in a casino, we did Pechanga in Temecula once, and there was like a Japanese businessman convention there, and they would all walk through and rub his head. And I was like, Brad, what is this like a weird Japanese businessman, like little person tradition. And he was like, I had to speak. The comedy club wanted me to speak to them earlier today and just say, like, good luck gambling. And he said, if you rub a dwarf's head, it's good luck. But he didn't tell me that. So they're all walking through the casino, rubbing his head. And I was like, hey, man, are you cool with that? You want me to do something? He's like, no, I told them earlier. At Sarah Tian on Instagram and Twitter and TikTok.
Yes.
44 is a special on YouTube. Go check it out. I love you.
Thank you. Love you more.
Starting a business feels a lot like starting a podcast. At first, you're sitting there going, dude, is this genius? Or am I about to embarrass myself publicly for the next 5 years? And honestly, that little panic never fully goes away. I remember when we first started building my show, every little thing felt complicated. Logos, merch ideas, websites, promoting the episodes. It's a lot. That's why I wish something like Shopify had been around when we were first getting started. Shopify is a commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world and 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. They make it ridiculously easy to build a clean online store with templates that actually look professional, even if you're figuring it out as you go. And the AI tools, dude, they're wild. Shopify can help write product descriptions, page headlines, even improve your product photos. So instead of spending 8 hours trying to sound like a marketing genius, you can actually focus on your biz or your podcast or whatever dream is currently keeping you awake like me at 2 to 3 a.m. Plus, Shopify handles everything in one place. Inventory, payments, analytics, shipping, all of it. And that purple Shop Pay button, absolute game changer. Fewer abandoned carts, more people actually buying your stuff. It's time to turn those what-ifs into with Shopify today. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at Shopify.com/aboutlastnight. Go to Shopify.com/aboutlastnight. That's Shopify.com/aboutlastnight.